and you've gone off, you know. We used to, Ma used to call us out of bed, get us all downstairs, and she'd put cocoa on, and she would have a mug of cocoa. And then we all sat there and we used to sing hymns, wartime songs, coming round the mountain.
Did you feel frightened?
Oh no, no, I didn't feel frightened. No, it was lovely, I used to enjoy it. And then knock on the door one night, and because we sat there in candlelight, and Ma said, oh, I wonder who that is. I said, it's the Germans, Ma, it's the Germans. And she said, you could stop it, and stopped in the sitting room. She had to go right up the hall to the front door, and we all went to the cellar steps as far as up to who it was, and it was Father Huntley, the vicar, and he also used to come and see us, you know, and he'd have a mug of cocoa with us, and Ma used to say, are you going to sing something for him now? He said, oh no, no, tuck her legs up in the nightgowns and wrap the blankets around us and hide, you know. And there was one night, said, is everybody in? I said, is everybody in? And my sister was still in bed. She was a bit deaf, you see, and they didn't find that out until a long time afterwards that she was deaf. Yeah, and she was the one who had to go into hospital. And then at the end of the war, my other sister went to hospital. Mm-hmm. Yeah, went to convalescence at Holt in Norfolk. Yeah. Yeah, so it was the happiest days, really, for what the cottage homes had. Yeah.
Imagine, did you, what happened when you got to 14? Did you sort of have to start work then? Or?
Well, if you didn't go home to your parents, you just had to be fostered out. And a social worker would come and take you to the new foster home, and I particularly was going to another school and living in this foster home, because my sister went to this art school. But what normally happened was that to go home with the parents and live with the mother or the father or whatever, and then that was it, the end of the home. And there was no further help. You're out on a limb, really.
You were considered to be grown up then.
Yeah. So you walked up the entry with your satchel and three pairs of knickers. And that was it, you were out. And you were free, you know. You skipped off into the mist. And I was fostered out to an old couple, older than my grandparents, and we didn't get on very well there. I was still away. And then they sent us to another one on Thirlby Road. That was in the same area as Highfield, you know, just off Amberston. And we stayed there for a few years, so that was quite nice there. But we still had to be in at 8 o'clock at night. So I went to night school to be out a bit longer, because that was on till 9. And I could stay up till 5:30. Right.
So you were still studying all day and in the evenings as well?
That's right, yeah. And we went, when I left school eventually, I didn't go to college, but I should have done. But, they didn't sort of say, no, you've got to go to college now. They wanted you to earn some money.
Mm-hmm.
So you went to Chilproof, do the machining at the Chilproof. Mm-hmm. That was on East Park Road, St. Barnabas Road there, and everybody went there. And I hated it. Mm-hmm. And I said I wanted to be a designer, you see. Design children's clothes or about adults' clothes. It didn't happen.
Question, and were your parents better by then? Had they recovered?
No, they...
So, did you stay with the foster parents whilst you were working at Chillproof, or did you move then?
Well, I got a job at the warehouse in Ash Street at the co-op, typing, because that's what I'd been to night school for. And then I went to live with my sister in her foster home in Eggington Street, and with Mr. and Mrs. Hall. And because living there, my sister, she was at college, and I was at co-op. And then that's when I met my husband, because he was a policeman, and the police had been to the college for a dance or something, and my sister met him there, and we were walking along the London Road, and that's when I met him, and because he walked us back to Eggington Street there, and that's when, and then, you know, so, and he lived in Saxby Street, so that was quite handy. And he was in the police force in the city, and then I don't even know, and he was a bell ringer. So we used to go ring the bells all over the place. They didn't have any at St. Peter's, or St. Stephen's. Had some at St. Saviour's, but didn't go there. And so he was a little bit further afield to Loughborough, and St. Mary de Castro, ringing the bells, and that was our courting days, that was. And we got married in the August.
Did you live in Highfields after you were married?
Yes, we lived in Saxby Street, and that's when we first started to, well, there was other people living in this house, Biggs with them. He was an Indian named Tom. And he married this white girl named Maureen, and it was Evanston now. And he had fits, and we often fished him out of the bath when he was shaving, you know, because he had this fit in the bath.
Epileptic fit.
Anyway, then eventually he died because he fell on the fire. And that's
how
just,
awful.
Yeah. That, I mean, it's bad in them days, wasn't it, really? I mean, if nobody's about to sort of catch you or... be with you all the time, and so that was him.
Were there many Asians in Highfield?
Well, there was beginning to get a few families down Saxby Street, and not as many as there are now, of course, but they were beginning to come. And when I went to work at Lee's shop in Leicester, and he used to come in there, and I used to, because it was classic, I think, if you saw a black man or a, I can't say that one now, somewhere, but a gollywog. And I think it's terrible these days that children should not be able to say blah blah blacky. And things like that. It's us that's getting the racist thing now. It's against us. I mean, at school we used to have different religions, and if you were a different religion, you could leave the hall while they had the assembly. But we always had an assembly.
Were there many Jewish children in Highfields that you knew of? Because there is a Jewish community.
Yes, there was. I didn't know many myself, if any. I can't really think of anybody. But the synagogue was just outside on the Mill Hill Lane bit there. When we went on the swing once, we saw the synagogue over the wall, and that's how we knew there was a Jewish community. I mean, we didn't know, we didn't know about Jews.
They sort of kept themselves to themselves,
you'd
say.
Oh yeah, yeah, because I mean, I'd probably be at a different school anyway. Probably be at grammar school, private school.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they were.
Mm-hmm. They were tended to be well-to-do people.
Oh, definitely, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jewelers and
mm-hmm.
businessmen and tailors.
Mm-hmm.
Gold, HG Gold, and
mm-hmm.
I used to work for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were in Rutland Street, a little factory there, and they lived in Stonybridge. And I used to go and clean for them and look after their children. And she used to cook special things, and their meat had to be killed by special people. And everything was really pristine, you know. And it was luxury. I mean, a silver candlestick on a polished table, and on the sideboard. And there used to be this little thing on the door as you went in, like a little, not like a little bolt, really, but it wasn't. It was, I don't know whether it was a message, a Jewish message, or I forget what it was now, but it was something stuck on, well, as you went in the front door. And I don't know whether it was wiped clean or. Oh, what it was, I can't remember. I suppose if I sort of had a bit of research, it would find out what it was. I remember something like that. And then this little boy there had asthma. So that's why we used to have to throw all the bedding downstairs, and it just had lino on his floor. Mm. And it was the sparsest room of the house, you know. But it was nice working for them.
And did you move then from the first house? Did you stay in Highfields, or did you move out of Highfields?
No, eventually we got a police house, and that was back up the second lane again, in this police house, and we were up there for 2 years, and that's when I had my first little girl, Glenys, and then I had another one, Valerie, and then came back to Corn. And had several moves in the police force, really.
Mm.
He left the city police and come into the county police.
How did you feel about leaving Highfields after you'd really been there most of your childhood and then sort of as a young woman? Did it feel like home, that you were leaving home, or...?
No, it didn't really, because in a way we were glad to get away from... Not from the area itself, but I suppose from the memories.
When you go back there today, how do you? It must seem very different. Does it seem very changed to you?
Well. My sisters and myself, we went back to St. Stephen's Church. It's exactly the same as it was. Exactly the same as it was. But apart from the building, it was full of black people. Strange, you know. But he made us a little welcome. And really, it's better now. The personality of the church has changed, you know. And people are welcoming. They're not like all staid and they still have the incense, but they love the incense.
It's high church.
Yes, it is, and Father Irwin, he's there now, and he's lovely, and all his black congregation, they're lovely people, and we had a cup of tea with them in their little room at the back, what used to be the factory canteen during the war, and then it was reverted back after the war to the youth club, and it was always for the kitchens, you know. And it was lovely to go back, because we've been back a few times, and it's a long way
to
go. I'm at work perhaps at 2 o'clock, so it's not very too far away.
There's quite a few of the streets have been rebuilt and changed, haven't they? And
I don't know which ones. Apart from the schools on Melbourne Road, they've all been changed, and lots of buildings down there have altered. I don't know what Mere Road was like, but
and the road, they've put traffic calming.
Well, that's to stop these joyriders, I suppose, really. That's a change. There's some little choir boys who set fire to the brook. And it's only because there was some diesel floating down the brook, and they set fire to it. It was funny. I mean, how can you set fire to a brook?
That could have been a shock.
No, I don't think it was very much. I mean, I think it was just some spillage that there was at the time. There's Terry Pollard and Donald Bingley and Stephen Harford. All the choir boys around that area, you know. David Feed and quite a few of them around that way. They all lived around there. And used to come to their homes out, "We want the girl in the red hat." Because we couldn't go out, you see. And after church, they used to come and shout up to the window, and I used to clear them off.
Were you allowed to listen to the radio?
Well, that's funny, that is, because when you were the eldest girl, got more supper ready and took it in for us. And then we all went to bed. Well, we're all in bed anyway, apart from the eldest girl. And because I wasn't the eldest, this girl, she's a little bit backwards there. And so I used to sort of try and be one jump ahead of her and get more supper ready, because on Friday night theatre was on. And Mara was listening to Friday Night Theatre, or Paul Temple, or something like that. And she got her supper in the sitting room. We used to have a loudspeaker in the dining room. And we used to creep down the stairs, sit on the stairs, and listen to the cereal, or Friday Night Theatre. And then, as soon as it was finished, Mara was out in the sitting room. And we used to have to run up the stairs quick, you know, get into bed as if we'd been in bed all night. And it's strange, really, because at the end of when I was at the home, this business of being the oldest, Mal gave me my birth certificate, and it's got the wrong birth date on it, and I was the eldest all that time. So it was really a sort of an anti-climax, you know.
Was there how much you run by the county council in those days, or was it some other body?
Well, I think it became the county council in 1946 when they Trevelyan left. I think it was run partly by the council, but it used to be the public assistance and the poor law. But I've tried to get records, down the records office, and they've only got odd books there, that the date you went in and the date you left, you know. But they haven't got any photographs. And every Christmas morning we had our photograph taken with the Lord Mayor outside the receiving home on Mill Hill Lane. And then Councillor Court, he used to give it all sixpence. And where the sixpences went, who knows? I don't know where they went. We never spent them.
You didn't have
them. No, we never spent them. No, it's funny, you know, when you think about things and then you think about what did I do with that sixpence?
Did they give you pocket money?
No, not at the receiving home, but we had threepence for the cinema when we went to the East Park Road Girls.
But not a whole sixpence of your own?
No, no. I think I left the home with a shilling.
Gosh, so they just sent you into the world basically with
nothing.
Very little.
Mm. Yeah. And not knowing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean when I started my period, I'd been away to council. And I've got housemaid's knees, I've got boils, chaps, chilblains. And Mo was away with this nervous breakdown, but Mrs. B looked after it. And I just shouted downstairs, "Oh, Mrs. B, I've got bloody headaches." And she said, "Well, have you had it before?" So I said, "No, I think it's from the boils."
Oh dear. Was she some helpful, or?
Oh yes, it was.
But no attempt had been made to prepare girls for what was going to happen to them.
Not really. Only at school when Miss Gilbert said that we'd have eggs come down once a month.
Rather alarming.
No, the next time you would bleed as well.
Hoping people would leave before it became necessary to tell them.
Yeah. But it was a subject avoided, you know.
Yes, yes.
And then she gave me this pad and this bit of a basket with a hook on it. And I said, well, what do I do with it, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, she said, we'll bathe the boils later.
So the standard of health care, you feel, left something to be desired?
Yes, it did really, in a way. We were always clean and had a bath Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, strict wash, you know, other nights. And, always had clean clothes. You know. You just had to wear a vest, combination, knickers, Liberty bodices, a blouse, black stockings, tunic, and that was it. I think we were warm then. Yeah, we didn't know how to put these combs on because they're like a vest with legs and you have to get through the top bit, pull them up, and then button up at the neck. So we've got a big hole in for your back side and a bit at the front. Quite funny. And we used to have to do pee in these combs at school, you know, with navy knickers. And we had sewing night every Thursday night. And all these combs and knickers and little bodices and blouses and all on the table for us to put buttons on or sew elastic in. And all we used to sit there moaning. It was awful. Oh, I can't thread this needle. Oh, there's not enough elastic. These buttons are horrible, you know. And I said, get on with it. And she said, I won't do with a red hot needle and a burning thread. Oh, dear. Yeah, so we always had a little grumble about that.
Did they do things like take you to the dentist or the optician? Or?
Yeah, the dentist was on Evington Road and Mr. Granger. And he was quite nice, but he used to come to the home first and then examine us with his carbolic thing in the mouth and then pop it back in the carbolic again. And then Mo used to tell us who'd got to go to the dentist. And then when we got to go, they had to go to the Evington Road place, and there was this, didn't know where the bell was in the house, and there was this piece of metal sticking out, and you had to pull it, and the thing nearly came out the wall, you know. Anyway, we went in there, and there was all these picture post magazines, and geographical, you know, and it was that first time we saw the picture post and all the photographs of the war. And we used to have a doll's corner, and I used to come and look through the hat and say, get that doll's corner, because there was a rag doll, you know, these white sheets made into rag dolls. And she said, it looks like Belson. Well, Belson, I mean, it's right.
But
I shouldn't say that.
But you'd not sort of heard the news yourselves at all, so it was a more of a shock. Yeah, so in a way you were perhaps isolated from what was going on at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Let's stop.